Hey, good morning. Hey, I just want you to know something before we even get going. We are made for this. We're the light of the world, and lights are only good when there's darkness. So this is our time to shine. So if you've been walking around with some fear and you know, fear of the future, fear of your circumstances, fear of money, fear of all this stuff, listen, lift up your head. We are the winners. This is what we're built for. We're built for trials. We're built for trouble. He isn't a God that gets us and then says, oh, I'm going to just put you in this nice little room and you're not going to face anything. He equips us to face everything and to come out victorious. You know, when I used to coach, the only times we ever lost was when the other team would get us to hang our heads. Listen, we're early in this game. If your head is hanging, lift it up. We are the winners here. We are the children of the King. We have an eternal destiny and we have a temporal purpose. This is our time. Rise up. I've been through a lot harder stuff than this, and so have you. Heck, this last week, we homeschooled. Fourth grade math, I found out, not good. Not good at it at all. First grade reading, I killed it. Killed it. But homeschooling is not for the faint of heart. That is a trial to me. And you know what else I found out about myself here? Patience. Don't got it. Teachers need a lot of patience. I'm not that guy. So if worse comes to worse and we have to start communal living, we got a church building we can go to. Two, we can live together. We can go old school. This is far from over, people. We're the winners. Now, there is a couple criteria to live in my house. One, you got to be a good handyman. That's a no-brainer right there. You got to be able to fix things. And cooking. If you're cooking, then you might be in my house. If you got some mad skills, tech stuff, you're in too. So I'm just letting you know the parameters right now if worse comes to worse. Musicians are also welcome. Vocalists, really good vocalists are welcome. I already got dibs on Aurelia. And, you know, so as we get started today, I want you guys to understand something. We win. Now, we're going to look at some words that Jesus shared with his disciples. And the context of him sharing this is about a year and a half into his ministry. And this is going right along with our series of Jesus in his own words. And Jesus was coming into trouble. The period of time in his preaching when he was loved and beloved and people just flocked to him was coming to an end. And the tide was starting to turn against him. We have his mom and his brothers coming to a house and first of all saying he's crazy. That's already taken place. We've had the religious leaders at this point make commitments, vows to each other that they were going to kill Jesus. It was just a matter of when and how. They were set on that. And then Jesus' miracles were attracting large crowds of people, but many of them were not interested in his words. They were interested in his stuff. They were interested in the healings and the feedings and all the different things he was doing. So Jesus makes a change to separate out those who are sold out to him from those that are looky-loos. And so he starts to teach the people in a different manner. Up until this point, he was very straightforward. He said what he meant and meant what he said, but now he switches to a different type of teaching called a parable. And a parable is a story that has multiple meanings. And in order to understand the story, there's the surface level understanding, and then there's the deeper understanding. And to understand the deeper things, one must go into seek mode. So Jesus was going to start speaking in a way that would separate those who were just hearing a story to those who wanted to know and be a part of what he is, or who he is, and what he's about. So this is, I think, apropos for us in our day, because it's easy to follow Jesus when it's all going great. In fact, when you don't even have to lean on him that much, because you've got a bunch of other things to lean on. Finances and jobs and health and prosperity and all that other stuff. But what happens when that gets shaken? So that's why I was saying earlier, we are built for trouble. That's what his Spirit empowers us to shine the best in, is trouble. So this is a time for you and I, brothers and sisters who know the Lord, to rise up and shine. When everybody's going crazy, we stay calm. When everybody's lost in circumstances, we know who's in charge. When everybody's wondering what's going to happen, we know the person who makes everything happen. We win. The enemy loses. I ain't giving him nothing. He wins nothing. He can take it all. He still doesn't win. I have God. I'm a member of God's family. So you guys, Joe, lift up your heads. We're in victory mode. This game ain't over. We're not even a quarter into it. We're going to win. You need to keep that attitude. You need to check your attitude. And if your attitude is not what I've just been sharing with you, you need to go into your prayer closet. You need to get your Bible. You need to pray and read till you are full of God. Amen. Then get out and then face the world. Amen. Facebook ain't going to heal you. That's right. I love the memes, and a lot of them are funny. And I like joy in the midst of this stuff. There is humor in it. But this is the real deal. This has been the lightest suffering I've ever done. I get to stay home. I don't even have to drive the boys to school. That's a good thing. I am so sick of that driving. I realize I got to do it for 8-9 more years. That's not making me happy. We win. So let's jump into the Word. And God's Word is always challenged by trouble and circumstances. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's in the trials and circumstances that will reveal what God's Word is to you and me. Where it really, really lies in my being. So Jesus addresses these challenges in the parable of the sower, and he also gives the antidote. So he explains what he's going to do to his disciples, this process of how he winnows out with the word the hearts of people, how he discerns that. And he shares with his disciples how the heart responds to the Word of God. And he'll give us four different ways it responds. So let's pick up the narrative. In Luke 8:4, we're told this. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. Now, in using this method, he is winnowing out, as I shared earlier, those who can't receive the word he wants to give from those who can. And there's actually a grace part to this. Because if people aren't ready to hear the word of God, God gives them opportunity to come back later. You know, one time when Jesus was preaching and he sent his disciples out, James and John, the sons of thunder, came to a town that didn't receive Jesus. And they said, Lord, can we call down fire on that town? Can we burn them? They just won't receive the word. And Jesus told them, no. Just move to another town. Well, a number of years later, because of the word that James and John had spoken previously, a kindling was starting to take place. Though they rejected it at first, they didn't reject it in the long term. And then when other missionaries came from Jerusalem to that particular area, there was a great harvest. So Jesus, in not getting mad when people don't receive his word right away, is actually showing grace because he's giving them opportunity to receive it later. And it minimizes his judgment towards them. They don't have much information. They will not receive much information. Therefore, judgment will be minimal. To those who have, more is required. To those who don't, whatever they don't have, that will be taken away. So there's actually a part of grace in that. So Jesus goes on to explain this parable to everybody that's out there. He doesn't explain the parable, he just tells the story. He says, a farmer went out to plant his seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks and it began to grow. But the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plant. And still other seed fell on fertile soil. The seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. He says, I'm telling you this story, and in everybody's mindset that was there, they understood planting. They understood also that most farmers did not hoe straight lines. They usually took the seed and would travel over their property, throwing it by hand, and so some would fall in different places. This story was not unique. They all understood it. But then Jesus puts a little question at the end. He says, you who have ears to hear, listen. You who want to understand what I'm actually talking about need to seek it out. And so today, I want you to understand that when the Word of God, and all of us have a portion of the Word of God sown into our lives. And he says, this is the challenge to the Word of God growing in you. He says that there are obstacles to the Word of God growing. So let's first break down the story. The farmer stands for God the Father. The seed is the Word of God, is Jesus. The footpath is the hardened ground. It is the trail that you will always find in farmland or any type of wilderness area where the animals and humans tramp on it to the degree that it becomes hard like concrete. So you have the footpath. So that is the hardened ground. It's well-traveled, compacted earth, from much foot traffic. Life is happening. The seed gets kicked around, never absorbed. It is the hardened hearer. The rocky soil is the unstable hearer. The plant seeks ground, but when it gets under the soil, there's just a thin layer of soil. It starts to hit rock. And that's rocky ground. One of the things a farmer does oftentimes before they plant is they go through the field digging out all the rocks so that the root system can be planted deep. In this particular case, it wasn't. Some seed fell on the rocky ground. Then there's the thorny ground, the thorny soil. That's the soil that nourishes many plants. And so they fight for the nutrients and the root system under the ground. And then he says there is the good soil that actually produces fruit because it nurtures the seed. So let's break this down a little bit and see what we can learn today, because this parable is not only about four types of people, it's about four types of heart that you and I have. There may be places in me where I am the good soil, but there's other places in me that I am the hardened soil. And so the seeds planted there do not seem to take. That's why sometimes some of us are real strong in certain areas of our faith, but in other areas we're panicky, we're scared, we're fearful, because the seed of God hasn't taken root there. So let's break this down. The first group is the footpath people. The seed falls on them but is not received. And that's usually because the word we're hearing does not match, does not resonate with how we look at life, our preconceived ideas, what we've been taught, our experiences. It does not resonate with that. And to receive that word, nah, I'd rather travel the path I'm on. Now, path people aren't that necessarily that way all the time. Even Jesus' kids can have times of being path people, hard-hearted. And you know what the key to hard-heartedness is? Pride. Pride is the sin that precedes every sin. I trust me more. My confidence is in me more. Pride is the hard heart. It's what Jesus' problem was with the religious leaders. His attitude towards them was, he loved them. They were the leaders of the people. He said to the people one time, you need to follow what they say, but don't do what they do. They reject their pride, their idea of who Jesus was. Anybody else ever have that? You have an idea of who Jesus is, how he should act, the way he would respond. All the different things we put into how we view Jesus. And then he comes along and wrecks that. Now I have to decide what I want to do. And many of God's kids have become shipwrecked in their faith because of the way Jesus does things or allows things. This is what I've learned in my years of walking with God. I may not understand his ways, but I trust him. So the devil, I know who my enemy is. I know my enemy is the devil. He is the one I hate. I literally hate him. I hate what he does. I hate what's all about him. I hate him. So I don't let him win nothing. Nothing. Forget that guy. Forget everything about him. He can't take anything from me to make me reject the Word of God. He can't do nothing to me. And I know he's tried, and he's tried in your life too, but he's got nothing coming. I win. I look forward to standing on his head. This is what we're built for. So he goes on to say this, that not only are there footpath people that the word has a problem reaching, there's also the people that have the rocky hearts. Oh, it tells us in verse 13, the seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. When then things tempt them, they love Jesus. They're the ones that are like the fireworks of Christianity. They go off with a boom, there's all kinds of sparkles, and then they're gone. Have you ever known anybody like that? They're in, then they're out. Then they're in, then they're out. They love the seed until they're tested. And they hit the hard place. And then believe me, you and I will hit the hard place at times in our life. And that is when we hold on. When I hit the place I don't understand. When I hit the place I'm no longer feeling connected. I'm getting no nourishment. When we have what we call the dry season with God, the dark night of the soul. When I was flourishing and then in a split second it all changed. That's the hard ground. The temptation then is to go away. The temptation is to shrink away. We are not like that, brothers and sisters. We're not shrinking away. We are not. Joyful in the good times, joyless in the bad times. Nah, doesn't work. So what is the answer to that? The antidote then is one's faith must develop a good, deep, broad root system. When you hit the rock, that's when you seek, and the roots keeps going till it gets around the rock into the soil again. We don't bail at that point in time. We keep going. We take all our resources and we seek the rich soil. The third soil he talked about is the thorny soil. Now notice in all these soils, except for the footpath, the seed is received. It says this seed, the seeds that fell among the thorns in verse 14, represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. See, the problem is with the soil. It's got too many plants. It's nurturing. It's got too many. It hasn't focused on the most important thing. Kind of like the story of Martha and Mary, where Martha came to the Lord and said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, tell Mary to help me. I've been cooking this food for everybody." There's nothing wrong with cooking the food for everybody. And apparently this woman named, her sister named Mary was helping. But Mary said, "I need to go sit down at the feet of Jesus." She knew what needed to be nurtured the most. The problem with thorny soil, people, is a problem of focus. They focus on too many things. And therefore, they're scattered. They're the ADDers of Christianity. They're all into Jesus. They're all into the problem. They're all into this. They're all into that. And all of that takes energy. It takes resources. These are the people that are constantly, "I'm burned out. I'm so tired. I'm worn out. I just want to rest. Gosh, I'm so weary." If you catch yourself saying that, what you're really saying is my energy is in so many things. I just got no energy to go out. I got no energy to do anything else. I can't see one more person. See, for you, you know, for you extroverts, this is a tough season right now. You're not being able to socially interact like you were, and that's difficult. For us, for me, an introvert, this is a great time. I can be alone. I can hang out. I just go do what I got to do. But listen, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you need to be a Jesus-avert. And you need to make sure He and His Word is the priority. The seeds have to be nurtured. What you nurture will grow. So the first thing he told them was that this is the three hindrances this particular thorny soil has. And the first one is the cares or worries of life. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to share this with you today. Because you can read a lot about the worries of life right now. And if that is consuming you, guess what? You're consumed. The worries of life deals with the assumed needs or lack of the present and or the possible fear of the future. What am I lacking now? What's going to happen in the future? And it takes tremendous energy to keep focusing on that. And it wears us out. People that do that usually say things like, I'm burned out. I have no patience. I'm too busy. I'm so busy. I have no energy to do anything else. These are the symptoms of a preoccupation with the worries of life. The worries of the world choke out our hope and security in God. We never learn to stand fast. See, the mature Christian stands fast in the storm. The immature Christian, the one whose plant of faith hasn't become strong, is tossed to and fro by every wind of whatever's going on. At great cost to their ability to grow. And I think we all know Christians that have been Christians for a long time. But anything that happens throws them for a mighty loop. What has happened in their life is the faith has not matured to the place that it can actually feed good fruit to those who come around. What's the beauty of a mature person? They're consistent in the way they deal with life. One of the absolute descriptions of maturity is consistency. Not all the way over there, not all the way over here. Maintaining equilibrium. That only happens when the soil, the heart, nurtures the seed of God until it grows and produces fruit. It takes a while to produce fruit. A plant has to mature. So he's saying here, Jesus says, listen, they receive my word. They receive the seed. But as soon as trials come, they quit nurturing that word and they nurture their fear. And they nurture and feed and give all their energy to something destructive. And the word, oh, it's still there. It just doesn't mature. He says another problem that keeps it from maturing is the deceitfulness of wealth. Why? Because wealth deceives us by us thinking that it's always going to be there. One of the problems many of us are struggling with right now with the situation we're facing is the loss of jobs. It's perhaps I have the job, but they've put me on furlough and I'm not getting paid for 3 weeks. And oh my gosh, 3 weeks ago we were all good. Now it's where are you, God? What is going on, God? Oh my God. Well, that tells you that, ooh, this is a checkpoint. My real hope was in my stuff. Because once that's gone, now I'm in the world of funkiness. Well, where's God? People, that's why I told you in the beginning, this is what we're built for. We're built to lose that and stand strong. We're built to stand strong no matter what. We don't run. We don't hide. We're the light of the world. When everything's light, no need for my light. When it's dark and they're tripping, that's when I get to shine. And it's a bad thing when there ain't no batteries in there and there's nothing to shine. Got flashlight, though. You ever been backpacking or camping? Have a flashlight that, oh, by golly, I forgot the batteries. That is about useless, and everybody appreciates it when they're with you. They, you know, this is the time. And the deceitfulness of wealth, it can change in a moment. And then there's a third one, the pleasures of life challenges God's word. You know, let me tell you this, first of all. The follower of Jesus is not denied pleasures. The phrase pleasures does not indicate that the Jesus follower is to have no pleasure. It is not sin to enjoy the Christian life. The problem is when our desires for things and the corresponding chasing after them, the time and energy and nurturing the soil, because in the story Jesus is talking about, we're the soil. So the soil is chasing after, nurturing, giving its energy to these pleasures, thinking it will get a return. But they're fleeting. And I'll tell you what, I have never bought anything that after a month, I was looking at something else to buy. I was looking for more. And of course, to buy more means I have to go into debt more, and that creates worry. Or I have to save, and I have to chase, and I have to convince Therese. I'm constantly convincing her of the needs I have for a fast car. She's not buying it. But I am not giving up, and I am expending tremendous amounts of energy to convince her. Just kidding. Not really, though. I'd like a real fast car. And you know what the problem is? I'm a pastor. I can't, even if I had the money, and you guys already know this, I told you before, I can't go driving up here in a Ferrari. Now, I'm waiting for someone to say, yeah, you can, Joe. We don't judge you. So, I'm listening. Yeah, nobody's here. Listen, I don't want to get lost in that. I like life. I enjoy life. I enjoy fine things. I enjoy a good meal. But I'll tell you what. God is more important to me. God's word. And being a blessing to others. See, because you and I only have so much energy. We were never told, not once in Scripture, to spend all your energy on things. You know what we're told? Love God and love one another. Expend your energy there. And he says, if you'll do that, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything you need, I'll give you. I either believe that word or I don't believe that word. Well, what determines whether I believe it? Take some of the pleasures away. See what happens. Can't go to the gym. Going to make a little gym in my backyard. There's things that we're losing right now that many of us took for granted. Those are pleasures of life. How am I coping with that? Am I a sad sack? Or am I making other things do? Am I spending more time with the kids? You know, one thing I found in this last week and a half or so, I've been on Facebook way more than I ever am on Facebook. In fact, the 3-year-old came up to me today and said, Papa, put the phone down and play with me. How dare he? How dare he interrupt somebody's life who I absolutely have no knowledge of, but that meme was hilarious. Listen. That's the important thing. You people, in your homes, spend time with people. Well, and if, okay, say you're single. Call people. Or at least text them. I texted like 10 people this week. Just say, how you doing? What's up? Everything okay? Just checking in. You want to use an easy phrase? Text somebody and just tell them you're checking in. How are you doing? That's all you have to say. Just checking in. That lifts their spirit. That helps them. It shows interest. Chase after that for a little while. This is our opportunity to shine. And finally, and needless to say this, the thorny person never matures in their faith. They're juvenile because they're like a kid who always looks for stuff to make them happy. They need to grow out of that to where they produce fruit. And that takes us to the good soil. The good soil is the soil that receives the seed. And then this is what the soil does. It nourishes the seed. It's committed to that seed, to grow it and to produce fruit from it, so that other critters will eat of that fruit, so that the tree becomes mature and produces many more seeds. The good soil understands the big picture. Immature soil, all the other soils that we talked about, the immaturity of that is it hinders the big picture. I'm always sharing with you guys the big picture, because the big picture keeps us on track with the details. When I understand the big picture, when I understand, and I'm a sports guy, which is a little difficult now, there's no sports on TV. And so I'm suffering for Jesus in this. But one of the things I've learned about sports is it's the big picture. You don't give up in the first quarter. You don't give up in the second. Our goal is to win the game. Our goal is to win the game. And there have been many times. And I'll tell you what. See, this is one of the fighting things about me. I have played many teams that laughed at our team. And you know what? Nothing feels better than to beat the team that laughs at you. And you know who laughs at us all the time? The devil. So, see, whatever portion of life we're in, it's just this part of the game. I'm in the game to win the game all the way. If I'm getting my fanny kicked all over the place in the first three quarters, then I'm simply getting my fanny kicked all over the place for the first three quarters. But I ain't giving up. Amen. I ain't giving in. Amen. I'm gonna win. I'm gonna win. This thing we're dealing with right now, it will pass. And it will take us to the next thing. This is what we're built for. So he says this, the good soil and the seed, verse 15, that fell on the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people. People, the soil is good, it's nourishing to the seed. Who hear God's word, cling to it. Cling means to hold on to it, means to ground it, means to let it seep in. The ground moves for the roots to take place. The ground adjusts to the needs of the seed and what the seed is needing to take place. The soil is all in. So my question to you is, are we all in? If we're all in, then this is just rocky ground. Some thorns we're running into. A weed that's attacking us. Bottom line is, I keep nurturing the vine so I can sip on it. As Chris would say, the good soil is not merely soil of sufficient quality and depth to receive the seed, but it's committed to the seed. It's committed to the seed maturing, reproducing, giving fruit, attracting animals, and, you know, everything's attracted to a tree that's producing fruit. The change of purpose for the soil is now about nurturing the seed. See, everyone in here, you've always been soil. You've nurtured lots of different things in your life. You have been a soil that has lived life. When the Lord comes into your life, the purpose of the soil changes. Now, instead of getting what it can, it becomes productive for others. It's producing for others. That's one of the qualities of God. And He gives it to the soil. So this is what our job is to shine in times like this. You need to understand you're built for this. So how's the fruit looking on you? For example, it's not only, like I said earlier, four different kinds of people. It's four different kinds of soil in one person's heart. Listen, you may be open to God about your future. You receive that, but closed to His word, hard path concerning how you prioritize spending your money. You ever notice that? Oh, I'm all for God. Well, why don't you give this money away? I'm all for God except for that. That's not fitting with my preconceived ideas. You may respond like good soil to God's demand for worship, but respond like thorny soil to His demand not to worry and be content. I may not respond. I may be that may be choked out by other things. Oh, I'll worship you, Jesus. I'll worship you, Jesus, during service. And after that, my energy goes to other things. Good soil also produces in varying degrees. The soil of your heart is demonstrated by the actions of your life. You know, if a tube of toothpaste says toothpaste, and you squeeze it, what's supposed to come out of there? Toothpaste. If you are a Christian, you know the only way the world knows if you're a Christian is when you're squeezed. And does Christian come out? Does Yes. That tells you what the soil is. If you claim you're a Christian, but when you're squeezed, fear comes out. That tells you are not perfected yet in the soil. You are not producing. Something is getting more energy than faith. So what you profess will be demonstrated by your actions. So as you guys get ready to deal with life this week, I want you to go out and I'll tell you what, when you wake up in the morning, this is my challenge to you. Before you get out of bed, I want you to go like this. This is what I'm made for. This is what I'm built for. I attack the day. I don't shrink from it. And if I got to be in the house, then my gosh, this is going to be a clean house. We're going to have fun in this house today. We're going to go do something in the house today, except fourth grade math. But we're going to do something else, like art. We're going to do something. Because what comes out of you is really, really, what comes out of your actions is really what's inside. If you're freaking out, then that's really the soil in there. Where is the word in that? Is it hitting a rock, a thorny place? What are you nurturing? What am I nurturing? So check yourself, because we're meant for this. This is what we get to do. We are the winners. We are the hope of the world because we know who the hope of the world is. We can point people to that. I am fully confident that Jesus will be who he says he is all the time. And when I don't see that, I am still fully confident. You are still God. You are still God. And you get to call the shots. My job is to nurture your word to where it produces fruit in me that people that are hungry can eat off of. And if they pass by, they pass by. Who wants to be that way? Well, why don't we just stand up right now in our homes? Some of you might need to put the lounge thing up, and somebody next to you has fallen asleep. Shame on them. Hit them in the face for me. No, just kidding. Wake them up. And hey, you know, one good thing about preaching to an empty church, I don't have to see Chris Jones sleeping. It's a great pleasure of my life. So, wake them up. Let's stand up. Why don't you raise your hand if this is what you want to believe in. Lord Jesus, I want to be good soil. I repent of being rocky soil in places in my life. I repent of being thorny soil where I give all this nurture and attention to things that don't matter. And I repent of being the hardened soil that when your word hits the soil of my heart and it's been hardened because I have my preconceived ideas, I have my disappointments that I put on you. You've let me down. Whatever it is that hardens me to your word, God, I ask you, take a pick and break the ground up. Break the ground. You have my permission. Change me. Use me in this generation. And for those who believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, then I want you to do this. Take your hand. This is what I'm made for. God bless you guys. Have a great day.